Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to be looking this morning at verse 18. First Thessalonians 5:18, just this one verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I want to make sure you really got it. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to just, if you don't mind, can we all say this together? Are you ready? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Well, next week we will be celebrating Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving, I think for you and I, it takes on new meaning as we view it through the lens of Scripture. We discover in the Bible that Thanksgiving is, it's really more than a holiday experience. It's an everyday experience for those who are in Christ. And that is what this passage, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, that's what it's all about. In everything, give thanks. It's where the title of the message comes from. In everything, give thanks. Now, I have to be real honest. I struggle a little bit with this verse. And part of the reason I struggle with it is because I typically view it in the wrong, in the wrong way. It just doesn't seem rational sometimes to give thanks in everything. How many of you have had a week that you say, I am not giving thanks for this past week? No way. We have an amen back there, yes. This past week, I'll tell you, I spent the entire week, literally. I mean, I was going back and forth from, Columbus to Houston, Columbus to Houston. This was all on account of these two vehicles that we have that had to be repaired. And it was just driving me absolutely nuts. In fact, one of them is still here in Houston. And you have to understand, these trucks, they're in human years, they're 105 years old. And they should have retired a long time ago, and now they're expired. And it's the way, but we're still driving them. And, you can expect that there's going to be some problems, but you don't think that it's going to happen all like in 1 week to everything, but that's what happened. And then on top of that, we took my wife's car in. We were going to have that repaired and found out what was going on the right side after it was repaired also needs to be done on the left side. Amen. Ever had that happen before? You need the right and the left. And so, and then I thought, well, I know one thing that's not going to break down. Saturday, I got on the bulldozer. And I was in my mind, I was imagining how wonderful the cars would look if I lined them all up, and then, how beautiful it would be just to kind of drive over the top of them with a bulldozer and flatten them out, It's kind of the environmental friendly way of getting rid of your cars, So, and then the bulldozer heated up. I was praying coming in this morning, God, the one car we have left, would you please get us here safely today? But I want to look more carefully at what this means because, I'm still not thankful for all the vehicle problems, and thankfully that's not really the point of this passage. But to be real, my problems this week are actually, I would say they're minuscule, to some of the real problems that are going on and that people are faced with. Some are suffering with severe health-related issues. There are others that are going through some financial problems. Some live with relationship issues, and others are in this place of, just anxiety, fear. And then we see all that's going on in the world, and, not just with the pandemic. I never bring up the pandemic. It's not something that I preach on or teach on, but people do experience a certain amount of anxiety, and then there's inflation and the cost of things, and does Paul really mean in everything, give thanks? I mean, does everything really mean everything? Well, I hope not. But number one, let's look at the context of this passage. because we're going to discover something in everything. By the way, in the Greek, these two are distinct words, in everything. They are not added by the translators. They're not a paraphrase. These are two distinct words. In is a positional word. You came to the church in your car. And so now we are in the building. So positionally, that is where we are. Everything, on the other hand, relates to our circumstances. So in everything, in all that we're going through, in everything. And so the idea is that whatever circumstances we happen to be in, we are to be giving thanks. Now, let's look at the historical context of this just for a moment. Acts chapter 17. If you look at Acts 17, you'll discover that Paul, his missionary partner Silas, they had just traveled to Thessalonica. Now, shortly after their arrival, they began to teach the gospel. And so I want to pick up the story in Acts 17, and in verse 2, immediately after their arrival here, then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and to rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded. And a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews, who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, they set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason, and they sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." And Jason, he's harbored them. And these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus. And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. And then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. So you get a picture here, and I thought about this, and so here we have, if you wanted to be in trouble back in that day, you didn't have to do much. All you have to do is say, "Jesus." You're in trouble. You're in trouble because Roman law demands the worship of Caesar and Caesar only, but you say, "King Jesus," and you're in trouble. And so you have these new believers at the church in Thessalonica. They were already experiencing persecution. Now, let's talk about human nature just for a moment. Human nature. You know, when trouble comes, I think our human nature, it leans towards complaining. At least mine does. It just kind of naturally goes that way. I mean, if there was a complaint box, we would not walk, but we would run to the box sometimes. And we're going to dump our... But, you know, we become a Christian, and you'd think, well, the complaining would stop. Well, you know, I think the complaining, it just kind of changes. We may not scream and we may not yell, but it changes. And so we say, "I've got five things I'd like to share with you." And you know, when someone says that, guess what? You're the complaint box. We rephrase it. Paul is saying, you know, "I know they're persecuting you. Jason dragged out of his home. Many of your old pagan friends, they've abandoned you. Some of you can't even get a job right now. You've been identified as a Christian. Some of you, you've been taken to court. You've even been fined." And I'll tell you, you know, when I look through this and I think through this, and I think, you know, that was the reality in those days, it really makes my vehicle problems look very small. Because this is what they were dealing with. Paul writes, though, even in these, under these types of circumstances that are going on within the church, he said, still give thanks in everything. I thought, what would it be like if Paul were living in our present day and he posted this on Facebook? I wonder how many likes he'd get. I'm sure there would be some thumbs down. In everything, give thanks. Well, number two, let's look together because we're going to discover that this is a command. Same exact words, but I want you now to think of these words not as a suggestion, but as a command. You mean Paul is telling us and he's not suggesting to us? You know, we are being told that regardless of what's going on, we need to be giving thanks to God. But you say, you know what? I really don't feel like giving thanks to God. I don't feel like it. I mean, isn't that like lying to God? I mean, if I don't feel like it and I say, thank you, God, I mean, I don't think that, you know, Paul is in any way advocating that we be deceitful towards God. We know that God reads our thoughts. We know that God reads the mind. We know that God reads the heart. And I think you should understand, you know, God knows. And this is where we begin to change our thinking about what in everything really means. I don't believe it means for everything. I don't think that, you know, if I break my thumb, you know, and now I can't, I have to learn to write with two fingers. My thumb doesn't work. I can't hold the pencil correctly. Now I can't play guitar. And now there's so many things I can't do. Oh, God, thank you. I broke my thumb. I don't think that's what it's talking about. In everything does not necessarily mean for everything. The focus of this passage is not the problems themselves. In other words, we're not looking at all the problems and saying, thank you for that one, thank you for that one, thank you for that one. But it is our relationship to Jesus as we're going through the problems. Have you ever posed this question? How do people go through these things without Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? You look at what's going on and you say, how do they go through that without the Lord? How do they go through it? I'll tell you, Jesus makes all the difference for me. And I really don't know how people go through it without Jesus. I don't know how they survive all the problems in the world and their problems of life and the uncertainty of everyday circumstances. How do they do it? I depend so much on the Lord. I just know He's going to take care of it. I know He's going to, I have all the wonderful promises of the Word of God and I rely upon those. And I don't know how people do it that don't have they don't experience those promises. And so that brings us to the third section of this passage, which describes the conditions of the thanksgiving. There are two parts to the conditions of thanksgiving. The first part is that thanksgiving is conditioned upon the will of God. When it is God's will for you to do something, that means that you do it regardless. It's not about how you feel about it. It's about what God says about it. In fact, it has nothing to do with how you feel about it at all. Paul writes, in everything give thanks, for this is what? It is the will of God. I think we're extremely prone to reliance upon human feeling as a motivating factor. At least I am. Especially when it's something that involves some discipline. I'm disciplined as long as I feel like being disciplined. But you know, there's a lot of times I just don't feel like it. And guess what? Discipline goes out the window. Because I am relying so often upon human feeling. And that attitude, I think it starts when we're kids. You know, for some of us, our first experience, it was with broccoli. You remember what it was like? It's like, son, eat your broccoli. I don't feel like it. Well, I didn't ask you if you felt like it. I'm your mother. Eat your broccoli. And, you know, I'll tell you, that was end of story. I ate my broccoli. And Paul is saying, you know, this is not about how you feel, church. This is the will of God for you. It is what God has willed for you to do. Notice with me that Paul doesn't try to stir up an emotional response, and that's where we're guilty so often in the church. We want something done. We want something to happen, and so we stir people up into this emotional response. And it doesn't matter whether it's a building program or giving for something else or serving, or, man, we got to make people feel it. We want people to feel like doing what we want them to do. Notice with me that Paul doesn't try to stir up an emotional response. Paul could have said, you know, well, at least, guys, you know, you all have each other. You know, you really need to set an example to one another, and so be a good example of giving thanks. And he doesn't stir them up emotionally. And, you know, back then, even that, I'll tell you, you couldn't even count on that, because the person you're sitting next to today, they may be in prison tomorrow. So there was no psychology. There was only the one reality, and it is the most important reality. When you get into the Word of God, it is not about how you feel. When Paul says this is the will of God, he's saying get the feelings out of it and you respond in obedience because it is the will of God. And I think it's safe to say for me that's, you know, Thanksgiving. It's not always about a feeling, but you know, that's how it is with many doctrines within the Word of God. I mean, think about the doctrine of forgiveness. You don't forgive because you feel like forgiving, because if you wait till you feel like forgiving, guess when it's going to happen? Never. You forgive because the Word of God tells you to forgive. You don't pray always because you feel like praying. You pray because it is the will of God for you to pray. Thanksgiving, it is not conditioned upon feelings. It is not conditioned upon circumstances. It is conditioned upon the will of God for you to be a person of thanksgiving. It is God's purpose in our Christian life to be a people that are thankful to God under any and all circumstances. But there's something about the Word of God and the will of God that I really do appreciate. And that is simply this. It is reasonable. I mean, it makes sense. The Bible says, come, let us reason together, thus says the Lord. And you look at the Word of God, and I'll tell you, it's just reasonable. I think, you know, like forgive. It's reasonable. It says, so forgive so that you can be forgiven. Pray so that you will not be led into temptation. Give that it might be given back to you. There's always some reason, and it's reasonable, and so it is with thanksgiving. And in this case, the reason is contained within the verse. It is here. You got to dig a little bit, you got to search it out, but the reason is here. And I said there's two parts to the condition of thanksgiving. The first part being that it is the will of God for you. It's this second part I want you to pay attention to. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In Christ Jesus for you. And in this last part of the verse, that brings all the reasoning into the first part. And when you've been wondering, well, what's this doctrine of thanksgiving all about? This is where it all begins to come together. And in fact, without it, thanksgiving at times may not even make any sense at all, because there are times when circumstances provide no reason to be thankful. There are reasons and circumstances in life when it would appear that thanksgiving, it just doesn't seem to fit. It's like the circumstances and the expression. They don't go well together. But Paul is telling us that, you know, thanksgiving for the believer, always appropriate, always right, always good, under any and all circumstances. The first word in this phrase is the same word that we saw in the beginning. I'd like for you to note the word in. That's a positional word. It's the same word in the Greek that we had. It's exactly the same. You're in. Today we are in the church. When you leave, again, you will be in your car. And here what Paul is saying is whatever circumstances you are in positionally, you are in Christ spiritually. Now my question to you is, does that ever change? Is there anything that can change that? Is there any circumstance that could take place in your life that would change your position in Christ? You are in Christ. I like this. You know, when I fly, I don't like to fly. Anybody here like to fly now? Okay. We got a few that like to fly. I don't know what's wrong with you, but you like to fly. What I don't like about flying is it's called turbulence. I don't like turbulence. The long trips to India that I've made, you know, some of them 36 hours, you know, it's like if you take my Dramamine away from me, man, you're going to get, I'm coming after you. I mean, that is like I got to have, not only when I'm flying, when I get there with the driving, I mean, it's like you've got to have the Dramamine because I don't like turbulence. Never have. Some of you like turbulence. In fact, you go to Six Flags so that you can get more turbulence. Not me. You know, when I think about turbulence, I think, you know, the lower to the ground you can be, the better. But you know what's interesting? When you think about the airlines, those things, they are made for turbulence. I mean, how often have you heard about so much turbulence that a wing fell off? If that were the case, nobody would be flying if you thought, you know, this thing's going to bounce around and the wing's going to fly off. But, you know, in your thought and in your mind and your heart, you say, well, you know, I'm okay, I'm safe. This thing was made for turbulence. And I'm safe as long as I am inside. You know, and though there are, you know, you've got these massive engines and you've got tons of fuel, not to mention the weight of hundreds of people and you're, you know, 35, 40,000 feet up there and it can be turbulent. But you say, you know, I'm safe. At least you do. That's what it's made for. And so while there is so much pressure on the outside, you can sit comfortably on the inside because you know that you are in positionally and you're not riding on the wing outside. It was shocking to me. You know, we all saw in the news the military planes leaving Afghanistan and those who thought that they could ride on the outside and they clamored aboard. And there was footage of them as they're, you know, way up there in the air and people are falling off. You can't be on the outside. So even with all the turbulent circumstances you are in, both personally and the world, you are in this safe place in Christ. You know who's on the wing? That's the unbeliever. The unbeliever might as well be on the wing. Because the only safe place is in Christ, positionally. And you remain always in Christ. To be in Christ means that you are secure. So what that means is the hundreds of promises that are contained within the Word of God, we know that in Christ they will not fail. Your sins, they are still forgiven. In Christ, you are still a new creation. In Christ, old things have still passed away. In Christ, all things are still new. All of the wonderful promises in Christ, no matter what you're going through, are still there and secure. And so you see how that when we're in everything, going through everything, that positionally we are in these circumstances, but positionally we are in Christ. And so that in everything, we can give thanks. Sometimes you read a story, it really illustrates someone who actually has done this and gone through something, and in Christ, they still give thanks. This woman, her name is Ann Steele, and according to the story, she had encountered one trial and one disappointment after another. But according to her story, as a believer, she continued to praise God. She willed that it was the will of God. You know, God, it is your will that I continue to praise you and to give thanks in all things, in everything, whatever it is I'm going through. She was engaged to be married. She had looked forward to her wedding day, as anyone does. The big day, it finally arrived, and so did all the guests. In fact, the room was overflowing with guests and with people and anticipating this beautiful, glorious wedding. But there was one that was missing, the groom. The groom was missing. They waited for about an hour, and a messenger brought some news and handed a piece of paper and said, "Listen, Anne's fiancé has drowned." Imagine being at the wedding. You're in the dress. You're waiting for the groom. And the news is he's dead. He won't be here. You can imagine the shock. The story goes on to say that sudden shock, it was almost too much for her, but then, I like the way they put this, after a while, she regained her spiritual composure. In other words, she brought the circumstances into the lens of the Scripture, and she looked at it through the Word of God, and she determined that it was the will of God for her to continue, regardless of the circumstance, to be thankful and to continue to praise God. There's a song that is in many of the hymn books. I don't know if it's in our hymn book down here, but she wrote the song. The words, "Father, whate'er of earthly bliss thy sovereign will denies, accept it at thy throne of grace, let this petition rise. Give me a calm, a thankful heart, from every murmur free." In other words, don't let my heart murmur against you. Just be thankful in every circumstance. And it concludes with, "The blessings of thy grace impart and make me live to thee." And that is the key. That is what is crucial about this passage. And when Paul writes and he said, you know, you guys, some of you are dying. Some of you are going to die. You are experiencing intense persecution, hardship, and all that you're going through. But in everything, in all these circumstances that you're in positionally, you still are in Christ. And so you can give thanks. And that is the condition of thanksgiving. It is the will of God. And secondly, that we are in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word to us today. As we are approaching Thanksgiving, Lord, we focus the Scriptures upon what that really means for the believer. We do thank you, Lord. We thank you that we are in Christ. We are so thankful to be in Jesus. What a difference it makes. I don't know how people that are out there on the wing going through the turbulence, I don't see how they make it. And we're so thankful that we are in this safe place in you, enjoying the wonderful promises, enjoying the relationship, enjoying the fellowship in Christ. It's in this precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Oh, some of you did not come in giving thanks. It's kind of like the smile we put on sometimes when we come to church. It's been a rough day just getting here. But when we show up, a smile comes on and we say, good morning. How you doing? Great. Doing wonderful. But we know deep inside that right down in here that it's not so good. But it's interesting to me that many times we do come in that way, but truly we can leave with a change of heart and a change of perspective of where it really is real. Because that's what the Word of God does, and the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and He begins to work in our hearts with it. And so now all of a sudden, the things we aren't thankful for. I'm not thankful for, you know, all that's happened in the week. But I tell you, I am so thankful that I'm in Christ. And things could get a lot worse next week. Guess what? I'm still in Christ. So let's go out of here today with this new perspective, maybe that we weren't thinking about giving thanks. In Jesus' name, let's stand together. May the Lord bless you and keep you in Christ. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. The way things were have become new. And I don't just mean that you don't yell and now you say, I want to share with you my five things. I mean that it truly becomes new in that your attitude and your heart has been changed in Christ. You came in Christ. Go out in Christ and be thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.